Hello and welcome to Mega City Book Club, the podcast about the galaxy's greatest comics, especially the British ones. I'm Eamon Clarke. I am at Lawless. I am sipping espresso coffee with Rob Ellis. Rob, welcome back to the book club.
Thanks for having me. It's lovely to be here.
We're up in my hotel room. I should say that this is our second year in a row, because last year we did the much underappreciated Junker, the comic that nobody wanted to cover apart from you.
Unloved.
And I thought we were going to be back here this year talking about some more John Ridgway and doing Summer Magic. What happened?
I've come to a point in my life where I think I'm tired of nostalgia. And I'm, right. I'm at a Comic Con based maybe on nostalgia. But I love comic. I buy comics from my comic shop in Reading, Crunch Comics, every week. And I've chosen to look forward now. I've chosen to enjoy the amazing comics that are out there. There is no golden age in the past that's better than what we've got now.
Well, I'll ask you how you discovered this comic, but what we better do, I suppose, is introduce it. So tell us, what is today's book?
Today's book is Image Comics Lovesick by Luana Vecchio. Seven issues combined together into the Lovesick trade paperback. Lovesick is the story of Domino, a woman who works as a dominatrix on the dark web. Domino and her girls entertain their clients with live streaming shows, snuff movies, and live events called Red Rooms once a year. The peculiarity of the Lovesick Club, the site where they work, is the victims are not random people taken from the street, but their customers who volunteer to be tortured and killed during these shows by them. What drives these young boys, and they are usually young boys, 16 to 18, I think, to apply and put themselves forward is their love and obsession that they feel towards Domino.
Very good. Right, so that is the comic and the outline of what it's about. We should say, content warning, this is a comic that deals with a lot of sex.
Oh, God, we should have put this at the start. If you've ever listened to this, maybe at work or around the house, God, turn it off. Go and listen to something about Dan Dare right now.
So there's sex, there is violence, there is, let's say there is, what should we say, there is some sexual abuse and there is some, I have to say, I suppose, that there's suicidal ideation for some of these young men, isn't there?
There's everything going on.
Everything.
Okay. Everything going on here. But the interesting thing about it is that it's done with consent. That's the truly horrific thing, isn't it?
Yes.
Is that fair? Is that...
Well, no, I think I was going to ask you, there's a consent question that we were going to ask about. Well, let's... So, it's Image Comics trade paperback that you sent me a copy of from 2023. So, this is a new, basically, book, a newish book.
Yeah.
And we should mention English adaptation and dialogue by Edward Kao. Originally, I put on Comixology Presents, and I think it's Comixology Submit, where you were able to submit your own comics to Comixology. Is that right?
Yeah, which seems amazing to me that people upload their comics for free.
Yeah.
And then, you know, basically get a call from Image later on going, this is great, we'll publish it.
Yes.
Anymore. And I know Stepan Sejic's done this with Sunstone, which
right.
is an adult comic as well. And I love the idea that this works so well. I mean, I'm amazed that a supposedly amateur can do a comic this coherent, amazing, and out there and upload it. And I think it survived pretty much unchanged to the printed version from Image, the first three issues.
So Image see it. I've forgotten the guy's name, Eric from Image. Anyway, one of the Image guys sees it. Says we want to do it. It goes from three issues to seven issues.
Yes.
How did you discover it?
I read previews every month, which is
okay.
catalogue. And I saw the cover in there. And it's the cover of issue one, where you've got Domino, who's a kind of a goth dominatrix woman with a severe haircut.
Yeah.
And she's knelt down staring above us, weirdly. That's what I quite like. She's not looking at the reader. She doesn't want you to read the comic. And there's a... I thought it was a pig, but it's a man with a pig mask is lying down and he's, I suppose, in a pool of blood. And he's sort of maybe smiling and he's lit sort of reddy orange and she's lit kind of green. And it looks like a sort of an Italian giallo film, is that
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It's got this crazy lighting. And behind the character who we later learn is Domino, there's her five girls who are named in the strip, aren't used very much. And they're just looking at us as well. And it just grabbed me because I was thinking, this is, you know, it's a, it looks like a guilty pleasure, doesn't it? I will, the, there's no way the artwork inside will be as good as this cover, I was thinking.
Right.
But I'll give it a chance.
So I'll say about Domino, the character, the sort of the main character, if people found the Judge Hershey sex bot that PJ Maybe had for a while,
yep,
if people found that sexy, then they're going to like Domino, because it's the same. She's got the Hershey haircut, isn't she? And she's been to extreme Ann Summers parties for her outfits. Yeah. Okay. And the other thing to say is, while we're just talking about the initial impact of the art, there's a lot of pinks and reds in this comic, isn't there?
Yes. Yeah, I think the artwork's really good, but I think the colouring is astonishingly good.
Right. So you saw it in previews.
Yes.
You've discarded for the time being the idea of nostalgia of old comics.
Yes.
Even though, as you say, we're downstairs poring over old comics. What was it that grabbed you? Was it the artwork initially?
I think it is the artwork. The logo is so strong, Lovesick. And I like the fact it's just one person doing it, Luana Vecchio. You know, I think she probably does the lettering as well as the colouring.
I think she does, yes.
And I think she might be a genius.
Right.
You know, and how many of those do you get? And I think they must have had the opening few pages in previews, maybe little tiny versions of it. And we're looking at kind of a distorted VHS tape of what goes on in the Lovesick Club. And it's so accomplished. You know, it's so good. You know, the storytelling's there. It's funny. I think this is what maybe the author and me maybe see slightly differently. I find it quite funny. I know it's violent, but I found it quite humorous.
Right.
Even from those opening pages.
We do get Luana Vecchio's sort of commentary, I think, at the end of every issue or before the next issue. She's clearly been on a journey with this comic, which has gone from 3 issues to 7. And she's got notes and a little bit of commentary on each one.
Yes.
I mean, I know nothing about her apart from she's an Italian creator. She appears to do it all herself. She has done a couple of other things which I've not come across. I don't know. Have you chased down any of her other ones?
I have. So she first appears, to my knowledge, in Mark Miller's annual, which was like a talent search in 2017. So it's called the Miller World Annual, and does a short story for the series Empress, which was kind of like a Flash Gordon's Ming the Merciless Wife Gets a Divorce.
Right.
Is that it? And it's good, but it's nothing. It's competent, and but it didn't excite me at all. Then I saw this, but I realised before this, I think after the first 3 issues, she's done a huge comic called Bolero, which is about 200 pages long, written by Wyatt Kennedy. And it's about, if you like her artwork but you don't like this material, go and search that out. And it's about finding love, maybe missing the chance of love, and realising there's a multiverse where you can fall in love with a different version of your partner. But there's rules to this. And if you could change, would you keep changing to find an even better version of that partner? And when would you stop? How many choices did you get? And it's kind of, it's sci-fi mixed with human emotions. And it's the emotional kick of her stuff that I think surprises me. It's always there, even in the humour and the violence. The emotional stuff is there. So she did about 200 pages of that. And I think she'd probably written the next 4 issues, but then she came back, did and drew the next 4 issues and redid one of the some of the first issue, which I think to my mind looked identical. You know, she was good then, she was good a couple of years later. And since then, I know she's done some stuff for DC, Harley Quinn, Poison Ivy.
Oh, has she?
Right. Yeah, only like a couple of issues of Poison Ivy, Harley Quinn, Black, White and Redder. Hello Darkness, she does a little sort of erotic horror story in. And I think the reason, maybe I'm older, or maybe just her talent, I don't understand why she wants to go and service those franchises, because I think she's held back when she does them. She can't do the Lovesick stuff. And I don't know, it's funny, the younger me would go, I want to see, you know, Luana Vecchio draw Batman. But I don't think I do anymore. I want to see Luana Vecchio draw her own creations.
Is it that DC Comics saw her artwork and thought, let's get her to do Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy, obviously, because she's got that art style? And presumably, I mean, we never know how much comic companies pay people, but presumably they pay reasonably well.
I guess it looks good on your resume. I don't know.
I guess so, yeah.
I really felt the Poison Ivy in particular was the middle of a ongoing series, which I think has been well regarded, by Willow Wilson.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Which I think has been really well regarded. But I jumped in just for the Vecchio issues, and I always know what was going on. It seemed nice, but it didn't blow me away like Lovesick did, which is probably silly because it's not going to, is it? It's the middle of a story.
You want to see the next Luana Vecchio personal project, as it were.
Yeah, I want, like, it's like this Italian coffee we're having. I want the pure.
You want the, yeah,
just, the pure Vecchio.
You mean just the small, yeah, the
and I don't
pure.
Really, I, if she wrote for other people, I'd read it. Right. I think she's as good a writer, maybe, which in comics puts you ahead of most people, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I think most artists are pretty good in comics. But writers, I don't know, maybe it's the deadlines or the dealing with all the different problems at big companies, but I think she's a really good writer.
Talking of writing, let's talk a little bit about the story. We've got the central character of Domino.
Yes.
Who appears to be the dominatrix, mother, superior, but also mother demon of this lovesick thing. She's also in a relationship with a man called Jack.
Yeah, so he's introduced, I think, unnamed in probably issue 3, maybe issue 2.
Right.
And he's this kind of mysterious man with glasses.
Yes.
So you've got this club scene and... Everyone takes drugs throughout the story. I mean, literally everyone. She seems to wake up and pop pills. And I think they've actually got Lovesick written on them. So she's kind of an unreliable narrator. Sometimes she sees her victims in the past. You know, she imagines them. She's being chased through a forest at one point.
Yeah.
And she imagines these kind of like hacked off bodies, doesn't she? Hanging from trees. And it would be shocking, but there's points in the comic where you think maybe the body is there hanging. Sometimes she has a bath of blood, you know, it's this sort of Madame Bathory, is it? Or
That
imagery is there, the sort of Hammer horror kind
Countess
of stuff.
Countess Dracula, Ingrid Pitt, yes, men of a certain age, yeah.
And that stuff's there and visually good. But other times people see her as a demonic being, often in silhouette with wings spread and horns. And I really thought the book was going to go down maybe a slightly supernatural route, and it doesn't. And it's because of this character, Jack, after the first three issues, she finds the focus is her relationship with Jack. And this the dark secret of the lovesick place is you are being killed by a beautiful woman, and that is, you know, your heart's desire. But then you get eaten by cannibals, and the cannibals run the place, cannibal gore. And probably most people have switched off this podcast now, thinking, I was with you for the first bit. And she, we basically, the rest of the next four issues are we alternate between the time now, where she's at now, and she's starting to have mental health issues. She's starting to disintegrate when she's not on stage, I think. When she's not, she's shaken by an attack by some people called the blood cells.
Yeah.
Sort of weaponized incels. They're shown to be sort of, again, 16 to 18 year olds. Who maybe are frustrated in life. Maybe the internet has given them unrealistic ideas of what a partner would be, or it certainly hasn't taught them the social skills to get a partner. And that's the idea of incels, right? Involuntary celibate males. And they team up and sort of put on neon masks and chase her.
And hunt her.
They seem to know where she's going to be, which is kind of like one of the hooks in the story.
Yeah.
And she's attacked by them. And it's one of the... Sometimes the artist... Liana Vecchio makes odd choices. She's attacked in the woods, and she's saved by a car turns up with the other dominatrices, and it's almost funny when they turn up. There's kind of this pink background, and they jump out of the car sort of doing somersaults, and they're in full costume. And I know they're performance artists. We've seen that in the Lovesick Club. They come down on these hoops from the ceiling, and they're clearly. But they come out, it's almost like a Frank Miller Sin City moment.
Yeah.
Where they're jumping, they've got samurai swords, and they've got masks on all the time. That's the interesting thing, is that she doesn't have a mask. She paints her face in this sort of ritualistic way, but she's unmasked, and she doesn't care that people know who she is. She's completely unafraid of being found out. And in the lovesick world, the police don't exist. Parental control doesn't seem to exist, or parental care. You know, lovesick isn't, can she evade the police long enough to get to the next red room? This world isn't like that. It's never going to happen. You know, you're never going to be saved once you go there. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I was going to ask you, and we don't want to spoil the ending, but I was going to ask you, are we dealing with multiple timelines, as it were? Is the story told in several different periods of time? Or are we dealing with recollections of, as you say, drug-affected minds? Because I thought, when I was reading it initially, I thought, oh, we've got, like, three timelines. We've got Domino when she's young. We've got Domino before she's hunted. We've got Domino after she's injured by the blood cells, which you can tell because she wears an eye patch.
Yes.
And then when I got towards when I got to the seventh issue, which I'd been told was going to explain it all to me, and then I read that and I thought, well, hang on a minute. Are we actually... Has some of the stuff that's been happening in the Lovesick Club, is that actually really happening, or is it just drug perception or faulty recollection?
I think this is where we get to one of her influences, which is American Psycho.
Ah, right, okay.
And she mentions it. I like the written pieces at the end of the issues.
Yeah.
Because I think they reframe what you've seen. Is that fair?
Yeah.
They reframe it in a way where you're encouraged to see what she thinks about what she's written. And I think this is one of the things she writes at the end, which made me really like her. She said, "Some time ago, I read a comment from a guy who asked what this comic had to offer humanity. I would say an absolute fuck ton of nothing. This is a nihilistic book. It has absolutely nothing to offer. Art is entertainment. Let's stop expecting it to always educate us or to deliver us positive messages. Comics aren't schools." And again, I find that funny. You know, it's one of those funny things. I like the word fuck ton.
Right.
So let's get that out of the way. This is a nihilistic book. I don't believe an adult can commit to 2 years of their life writing something without it meaning something. Now, I understand it's maybe not a positive message, but I don't think this is trash. I don't think this is trash, and I don't think anyone reading it... I know you can be turned off by the material, but I don't think anyone could read this and go, this hasn't been heavily thought about.
Right.
But I think, like American Psycho, in the book, I remember reading the book and just thinking, I don't believe all this stuff's happening. You know, I don't believe you could get away from the police. And I know the film it feels more satirical.
Mm.
And I think with this, it's so over the top that I read it as a satire. You know, sort of men against women, incels against dominatrices. And it's only the gear change at the end of issue 3 where you realise this relationship is underpinning the character. And I was disappointed because I kind of liked, she runs the club, her rules go. And then I realised what a pathetic view that is of the book. You know, it's sort of like the comics we used to read 20 years ago. You know, this sort of weaponised feminism and stuff. And it's deeper than that. She is broken, and she is working for a cabal of men.
Mm.
But on the other hand, her relationship, because the time change is 13 years. So we go from Domino, when we flash back, Domino's 16, yeah, maybe. And they mention her being 30 or nearly 30 when people start moaning about, oh, she's getting a bit old, or she's looking a bit tired. And those 13 years, because I could never understand why not make it 5 years? You know, why not? You know, you could. But I think 13 years is long enough that she's changed. And the power relationship between her and Jack has changed. He seems to hold all the cards at the start of the book. And by the end, he's maybe more broken than she is.
Yeah, it seems to be at the end. I mean, it's difficult to tell, or at least I find it difficult to tell, but yeah.
She'll do things in one panel that change the entire story, and so there's some things I hadn't read. I think at the end, I thought it was a flashback, but he's imagining the 16-year-old Domino in his car, and then the last panel, she's not there. Of course she's not there. She's you know, he's being driven off, and she's trying to get her stuff together after this sort of cathedral shoot. And I realised he creates a monster. He creates her. He takes this girl who's obsessed with online gore, hasn't got a relationship with her parents, for whatever reason is kind of haunted with this idea that she wants the perfect death. She doesn't just want to die. She wants her death to be so nasty it's used to warn other girls, which is such a bizarre idea. It's so over the top. It's horrible. And you're a doctor. Is this a real condition?
I don't know. I've never heard of it until she describes it.
Auto-assassinophilia?
Auto-assassinophilia, yeah. It's a new one on me. Nobody ever came and presented to me with that.
No, it's so odd. And then you realise, so she was basically putting out her address and whereabouts when she's 16 onto the internet, i.e. killers, come and get me. I'll be riding a bike about this time. This is what I look like. And one guy, Jack, does his research. He becomes obsessed with her, you find out later. and can't stop looking at her online posts and her fantasies, I guess. And this relates to, she says it relates to real life and the real cases of a cannibal that kind of like put word out he wanted to meet people and this sort of consensual cannibalism in the real world. I'm not particularly interested in that because it works whether the real world has these elements or not. You know, right. it works for me. I don't care if she's researched it or not in a strange way. The story works for me.
Yes. So Luana Vecchio is interested in real world cases. And there is at least one famous real world case, as you say, of apparently consensual cannibalism, which is seems weird. Because, as you say, in this comic, consent is an issue because it's quite clearly delineated that this is people consenting to this behaviour.
Everyone consents.
Yes.
So then the victim and the attacker are flipped, aren't they?
Yes. You mentioned American Psycho, which is interesting because, as you say, American Psycho may not be a reliable narrator in the book.
Yes.
And there are clues, I think, famously in that book that say a lot of this stuff appears to be fantasy. And then, of course, to get the film version, which, as you say, is very sort of satirical and weird. I often find with... Let me give you another example. Have you watched the TV series Hannibal?
I've seen the movie.
Right. From the TV series Hannibal...
Yes.
Because, obviously, it's Hannibal Lecter. He is working with the FBI. The FBI have got this unit to deal with serial killers. And in the real world, the idea that there's a serial killer who's got some elaborate grand scheme, that's pretty rare.
Okay.
In the TV series Hannibal, it's every week. Okay.
Oh, so in reality, serial killers aren't these sort of ultra-listening-to geniuses. They're just sad individuals who hack up hitchhikers and get away with it almost by luck.
But in film and TV, of course, they are elaborately weird geniuses.
Oh, yeah, almost we should aspire to be like them.
Yes, and the body count is ridiculous. And the body count in this...
Oh, it's... I mean, Domino, we see her kill six people.
And apparently...
But the cannibal gore place is eating... It looks like, you know, whole rooms full of teenagers.
Yes.
And I think that's one... the second issue is the one for me where I would say this is a comedy. Because we start off after a little opening thing with her in the woods. And she's chasing a couple of guys who are dressed up in bear costumes, brightly coloured cartoon bear costumes, and shooting at them pretty quickly, which is quite strange. And then she's got her gimpy man who knows he's up for the red room. He's going to be killed soon. And she makes him dig a hole for them, you know.
Yes.
And they're thinking, this doesn't feel like a master plan, does it? This doesn't feel like, you know, this polyester costume of a guy, you know, being buried. This isn't, you know, she hasn't thought about this. This guy isn't being put in sort of the, you know, the basement of a building that's being constructed or being eaten by pigs. It doesn't feel like a plan, does it?
No. And like I say, that number of people, that body count, I'm sure the, you know, the police are going to eventually notice.
And equally, at the start, I mean, this got me sort of, when I was reading it this week, we see a VHS tape played, and then we see the delivery of the VHS tape, which is in a thing called a mystery box that looks like it's been taped up by a mad person, covered in bloody handprints, and then delivered to someone's house. That doesn't make any sense, does it? And the whole VHS thing seems odd, doesn't it? I know there's kind of a retro feel to this, but I thought it was kind of dreamlike and there's no date, but the first box says 2019. And so we're posting out VHS tapes, which would surely someone would pop that to the police. You know, if you're not in and a neighbour signs for that, you're going to get a little visit from the men. But I guess that's the world we're in, isn't it? And that's what we haven't talked about, is we don't see... what regular people are up to in this world, do we?
We don't see any much of what we would call the normie world, regular world.
And there's one time we do, which is she's attacked and we see another car. She crashes into another car. But even the kid in the back seat is watching Lovesick. He's logged into the red room or whatever it is. So the whole world seems to be either obsessed with this or complicit in it somehow. We don't really see Domino on a day off. I think we see her for three boxes in the first issue.
Yeah.
Pop a tablet, have a shower, put on the makeup, and then she's Domino.
We never see her popping down to Tesco, do we?
No, she's like Prince. Do you know what I mean? the big boots are on and, yes. and the big hair and your prints, aren't you? And I like that because weirdly you get this domino sets up for the day and the alarm goes off, she stretches, her music comes on, she has a nice pink shower, the lighting goes pink, which is kind of like a nice warm feeling. And as soon as she pops the little love tablet, it all goes a little bit icy. You know, we're back to the sort of the green coldness of this sort of gone off fridge that is the Lovesick Club.
Right.
And we're back there. But we don't see the outside world, do we?
No, not that I'm aware of. Are you interested in the weird niche parts of the internet and this Red Rooms idea?
Go on.
Or are you interested in other comics about this? Like the one I know about, which I've not read, is Red Rooms by Ed Piskor.
Do you know, I picked that up. I think it came out on Free Comic Book Day.
Right.
And I couldn't get into it. Because I was thinking, because I do like horror.
Yeah.
But I like it played kind of straight. Whereas that, I couldn't get, not that it wasn't, you know, an extremely well done thing. It wasn't for me. So I guess I'm suckered in by my love for this sort of Morticia Adams type character. That's enough to get me in. And maybe I kind of ignore the gore a little bit. And also, people say it's gory, but she doesn't draw gore. It looks quite nice.
Right.
Does that make sense? We don't see gone-off bodies, do we? It's always quite neat.
It's all very neat.
Blood looks quite fresh and shiny. It's not congealed. You know, we're not looking at... And I know this might be an odd distinction to make, but I think if you filmed this, I maybe have a very different reaction to this same material.
If it was grimy and nasty and gory, it would be completely different. This is very sort of beautiful.
Yes.
Yeah, it all looks very beautiful and neat. Okay, so there's... Yeah, we talked about Consent, we talked about Red Room. I'm going to mention what another book clubber said to me, which is... I won't say who it is until after we finish recording, but they said they like the idea of a sexy lady wearing the sexy gear and you're tied up, but the moment it actually goes from beyond the visuals to her actually hitting you with the whip, it would be like, no, safe word, stop now.
What's interesting about the character, because I only know, you know, so it sounds obvious now, I only know dominatrices from fiction.
Yeah.
I've never paid for such a thing, and if I had, I wouldn't admit it now. But I think they humiliate you and hurt you. She doesn't. And this is why the character's interesting, is that she's genuinely kind until the moment she doesn't have to be. And you see this with her, with, I'm going to say victims, but they're not victims, with the people who self-select themselves. She spends quality time with them.
Mm.
And let's be honest, she doesn't need to. She's not going to get repeat business out of these people, is she? They're gone.
No, they're gone.
And she lets them hang around for ages. And this is the sadness of the book, isn't it? It's men wanting intimacy and thinking this is the only intimacy they can get. And if it ends in a little death and entertainment for the other boys back home, so be it. But it's only in one of the last issues where we see someone who goes, there's someone who signed up, and it seems a bit weird because either it's very expensive to join Lovesick and exclusive. So I don't know how these 16-year-olds and 18-year-olds get in. But one guy sort of says, I'm going to meet Domino. You know, I've got lucky. I'm going to the Red Room. She's going to fall in love with me. And you're sort of there going, I don't know much about your future, but I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think it's on the cards.
And they kind of, it's nice because she addresses the elephant in the room, which is, I think if you started stabbing people in a club, there'd be people there that think, oh, a bit of performance art, this could be fun. You suddenly go, the reality would be horrible. The screams, you know, everyone here dies nicely, don't they? They have their little throats slit and no one's just there gasping for hours on end, are they? Slowly bleeding out. And no one slips over in their high heels, do they, as they get into a bath of blood. Reality is left behind, isn't it?
I mentioned Conrad from Space Spinner 2000, who I went to see John Wick 4 with.
Mm.
And we commented on there's a fight scene in a German techno disco nightclub between John Wick and a bunch of assassins. And they're fighting with, I think, they're fire axes. And the other people who are in the club dancing carry on dancing and waving their arms in the air. And Conrad said to me afterwards, I think I'd have left after the first act.
But is that the kind of, it's just a movie, it's just a comic, you know, enjoy
presumably.
The Tarantino sort of thing?
Yes.
It's just a movie.
There is some very Tarantino stuff in this, yeah. Okay, can you sum up this comic, Lovesick by Luana Vecchio?
I think at the heart of it, it starts off being a sexy horror story.
Right.
And then by the end, it's a twisted relationship story. And it depends how much of that you can take. And that they have arguments about you're spending too much time with your cannibal friends. There's jealousy there. So it is relatable. And there's some great one-liners of, you know, I don't care about you fucking me. Well, you just want to get between my teeth. You know, it's really funny, I think. I went to Thought Bubble last year, primarily to meet Luana Vecchio. And I was nervous. And I don't get nervous meeting people. I'm not in awe. You know, I know these are amazing artists and writers. I don't get in awe of anyone because they're usually just quite regular people. And she was. She was regular. But I had that slight frizz on of, oh, God. You know, I'm the sad man in the lovesick club queuing up. And it was quite surreal because there was a couple of things happened. There was a woman dressed as Domino walking around, which I guess for a creator must be one of those lovely moments.
Yes.
And I double-checked because you're there thinking, there's a lot of these kind of characters in comics, isn't there? We don't talk about it, but there's the X-Men have their Hellfire Club, don't they?
Yeah.
Sue Storm's worn some outrageous outfits.
She wore the stripper outfit.
When,
yeah.
You know, when some dark jewel probably took her over. And Sin City's full of, you know, sort of Gale and stuff and the girls of the old town.
Mm.
This is a comic staple, isn't it? And I think it's done better here than anywhere, or done more interestingly. You know, I don't know about realism. Like, it's not realistic at all. But I wondered if it was nice for her to see someone dressed up. But the guy in front of me, because you can get drawings. You know, the artists now, you know, they're coming to a con. I guess they've got to pay for their flight or whatever. And they seem pretty clued up now. You know, they print issues of the comic with a blank cover.
Blank sketch covers, yeah.
Get your cover drawn on. And, you know, this was advertised, and I'd asked for one. But there was a guy in front of me, and there was only one person in front of them. So there's three of us in this queue, a little queue. And, I've made it all the way up to the Thought Bubble in Harrogate. And I was quite sweaty and, you know, a bit excited. But, you know, you want to pick up the thing you want to pick up. And I chatted to the guy in front of me. And I don't know his name. I'm terrible with names. And he was clearly a serious art collector. And he had multiple pieces. He got out his phone. We chatted about this. We chatted of our shared love of Lovesick. We thought Luana Vecchio was amazing. And I said, well, what are you getting drawn? And it was a naughty Harley Quinn tied up in red ropes. Beautiful drawing. He'd seen it already because they put this stuff online. And I'm looking at the drawing and I'm feeling that sort of thing. I went a bit cheap. You know, I went a bit cheap. He spent £500. I've spent £200. But we're all here to worship this artist. This is good. And then it's his turn suddenly. And he does this sort of awkward thing. You know, he jostles these bags. And then she goes, oh, you're so-and-so. You know, she knows who he is. I don't know how, but maybe the... And here's your drawing. And he just goes, thank you. Puts it in the bag and then he's off. And it was one of those wonderful moments of going, all that build-up. Then Domino just stabs you. It's all over.
The anticipation. Suddenly, yeah.
And I had a lovely chat with her. There's a little bit of a language difficulty because she's Italian. But there was a nice guy with her. I don't know if it's the guy who's a translator or something to do with the company. There was a lovely sort of well-dressed guy with her who kept everything moving. She was delightful. She'd sign whatever you like. She did a little drawing in a book. There's a limited edition hardcover of this, which I bought. And I've bought every version of this comic. You know, I've been a little bit obsessed. And she's now moved on to a prequel called Doll Parts, a lovesick tale, I think it is,
right,
which has been four issues about the character, because Domino is not her real name. She did have a very strange childhood. And those comics have just come out, I think, in the last few months, and they'll be collected in July.
Anything in it that would... I know we're anti-nostalgia this weekend, but anything in it that would tie it back for a 2000 AD fan?
Mm-mm-mm.
Tricky question.
One of the variant covers was done by Danny, who's an excellent artist,
yeah,
who has done quite a bit. She did an Anderson story, I think, for one of the specials. She seemed to sort of get a little kick out of 2000 AD, and she's moved on to Pastures New. She's now doing The Invisible Man, I think.
Right.
So 2000 AD, no. I mean, if you like comics about men fighting each other in future war and fascist police cops...
This
absolutely
is not,
nothing for you here.
Not the comic for you.
Because you're an incel. Or maybe there is something for you here. I mean, maybe there is something.
Well, with the extra features, there are variant covers by a variety of fairly well-known artists at the back.
Yeah, I love, because there's so many women who are killing, let's say, erotic comics. Can
right.
we say that now? So,
yeah.
So we get Maria Lovett, who did Faithless with Brian Azzarello. And she does a cover, and I love her stuff. Who else does stuff? Luana Vecchio does a lot of the covers. Danny, we've mentioned. Martin Simmons does a nice cover. And yeah, he's Department of Truth artist.
Department of Truth, yes.
I love that Luana Vecchio does a Spawn. It must have been Spawn month for Image.
Yes.
And she does a Spawn thing, which she manages to make the chains of the Dominatrix kind of match the chains of Spawn, which is a nice touch.
I read an interview with her yesterday in preparation for this where somebody was asking her about, will there be a Domino Spawn crossover comic?
She said no.
She said no.
That's good. That's how it should be. But I love there's a book called Somna by Tula Lote and Becky Cloonan.
Oh, right. Okay.
And it's kind of a witchcraft Middle Ages thing about being suspected of witchcraft and dabbling with the devil. And the two artists share it. And Tula Lote does the sort of the sexy bits. I think it's wonderful. And at Thought Bubble, there was kind of an erotic comics panel that Luana Vecchio was listed, but she didn't come. Maybe she just didn't feel like it. Mm. And they talked about these comics, and I felt such a feeling of relief that these aren't... Because for a lot of people, these are a guilty pleasure. These are the good girl, bad girl box at the end of the comic mart, aren't they, that you have a little fumble in, pull out a copy of Black Kiss and buy it quickly and stumble off home. And I don't think it should be like that. I think you should be able to have sex in comics. It's part of life, isn't it? You know, it's amazing our capacity for violence, not sex.
Mm. Okay, so Lovesick by Luana Vecchio, available in Image paperback, widely available. I forgot to check the price, but it is still available on all the bookstores. I don't know if the digital copies are still available on Comixology. I meant to check, but never mind. There are extra features from Luana, commentaries on each issue, and of course those extra variant covers at the back. Plus, there's a little... were those preview pages that appear at the back of the book?
Yeah, I think so. There's a little preview that was in one of the other Image books, wasn't there? And all of her text pieces are in there, which is good. I think that you need the text pieces to make sense of this. I've only watched bits of it, but it heavily references a film called Salo, which is an unspeakable Italian film with teenagers crawling around sort of a villa doing awful things to each other or being made to do awful things. And that's directly referenced. And I love the fact she references a lot of her stuff pretty directly. They talk about the Italian films in there. And any work of art that then encourages you to go and see other works of art has got to be a good one.
Okay, so it's not going to be a book for everybody, but it is interesting. It is, as I say, widely available. We'll find out. Well, she's doing the prequel. Or she's done the prequel.
She's done the prequel. Four issues of Doll Parts.
Okay. Let's play a tricky round of the Grail Pages, because I'm going to possibly speculate that these might be Grail Pages to have, but not necessarily to hang on your wall.
And no, they're going up, man.
They're going up.
Yeah,
they're going
stop
up the
being
wall.
A prude. Okay. Stick them up on the wall.
Right, what's it to be?
Issue 5, page 18. It's one of those pages that I think you referenced that could be an imagined memory.
Right.
It looks like it happens. And it's Domino for the first time as a teenager, getting out of a car with Jack, and it looks like they're on a date, but obviously it's kind of a David Lynch date where they're actually going to meet the Cannibal Club for the first time. And first of all, I thought he's opening the door, but it's quite clear he's taken her out the boot. She's been in the boot of the car, as a pet would be. And she says, wow. I think he thinks she's excited about the car, but she's devoted to him in a strange way. And I think it's just a perfect page. It's just one of those... It's got that sort of magic hour lighting.
Right.
And for me, it's a wonderful page. It probably doesn't have the humour or the violence, but it has the soul, I think, of this comic.
Okay. Yeah, weirdest date ever, David Lynch. Yes. Okay.
She works digitally, so that I know that page is a file somewhere.
Right.
Okay. But nicely, she hand drew a selection of pages for her fans, which she then sold off. Because I guess digital artists don't have stuff to sell.
She'd have to do you a very high-quality print, one limited edition, and then sign it for you, and maybe a little Domino sketch on the back, and then you could hang it up on your wall proudly.
I know it's weird, but I've met Luana Vecchio, but I still don't want her to know where I live.
Right.
What if she tells the Cannibal Club where I live?
Yeah.
They won't want my old flesh, will they?
Well, you don't want the Cannibal Club or the blood cells knowing where you live. No, that's for sure. Okay, well, fascinating choice, an unusual one for Mega City Book Club.
I feel a weight has lifted off my shoulders.
Do you?
Okay. Yeah, I always feel slightly shameful about this moment, and I think I felt guilty about Junker just because it's an unloved thing. And I think both protagonists, Junker and Domino, need to be understood. We don't always understand their motivations or agree with them, but I'm glad they've had a chance to be aired.
Had a chance to talk about them. If you have read Lovesick by Luana Vecchio, then please get in touch and let us know what you think. Be interesting to pass that one on. Guest projects. Last time we had, you had your own collected edition of Junker, the one and only hard copy, hardcover of Junker in the world. This time you've brought with you another collected edition that you've done yourself.
Yes, I'm a little bit obsessed with the Image Comic Department of Truth.
Talking about Martin Simmons.
Martin Simmons, yes. Martin Simmons is kind of the main artist on it. And James Tynion IV is the writer on
the
it.
The hot writer of the last few years.
Yeah. And what is it? It's a political thriller, maybe political horror. And the idea is we exist in a world where if enough people believe something, it kind of becomes true. So maybe things like the moon landings didn't happen. But if you create a conspiracy theory, the world really reassembles itself to accommodate these truths. So there's a department in America that manages things like Bigfoot and horrible things that happen. But what if Russia's got its own department also changing the belief levels of different things? And Martin Simmons is kind of the main artist, but other guys have drawn it. Pearson, John J. Pearson, who's at MCM Tomorrow. So I've made this book to get him to sign it. And one of my favourite artists, Alison Sampson, is also there. And she does a lovely sort of version of Marilyn Monroe. Is she real or not? Is she imagined by the American people as this perfect starlet? Or is there another version of her sort of walking around, flickering into existence that shouldn't be there? And I think these are great comics. They're not for everyone, but they're solidly made. And, you know, don't look back. You know, if I can leave you with one thing, please don't keep buying the same comics repackaged bigger and bigger. Go and buy something new.
Buy something new. So here is the Department of Truth in a hardback collection by yourself.
Yes.
As you say, mostly by James Tynion IV and Martin Simmons. But you've done your own cover.
There's some crazy variants. This is one of the books that has the most variant covers. Ivan Tao, how would you say that? Dow? He's done a lovely sort of it's the Spider-Man Punisher issue, isn't it?
Is that one Spider-Man 121? I'm going to say the first appearance of the Punisher.
I think it could be. So we're seeing the fictional woman, who's kind of this woman who always wears red and has crosses for eyes.
Yes,
and she's shown to be the real assassin of JFK, or is she? You'd have to read the comic to find it.
And it's a lovely pastiche of that famous Spider-Man Punisher comic cover, but it is a Department of Truth cover. And you've chosen it as the hardback or as the cover for your collected edition.
So I probably said it last time, but let's say it again. Spink and Thackeray in Leeds will bind comics. You post your comics to them. They bind them up and it can look like a journal, or it can look like a full graphic glossy wrap. And it's just a hobby of mine to bind all the comics. I've bound all the old comics. I'm up to date now, so just new stuff for me now. And
you can take it to MCM tomorrow and get it signed.
Yes, and it's always funny because artists are usually pretty good about it. They like seeing their stuff and then they're confused because they start thinking, I haven't been paid for this.
Yes.
It's a lovely moment of confusion. But sometimes comics are unloved. Sometimes, especially now, you get trades. Usually most comics peter out about three trades, don't they? Issue 15 or 18. They must look at the figures and going, they're not selling so well. So sometimes there's never a hardback of comics that come out. So they're glad to see maybe these sort of ignored masterpieces. And a lot of these people go on to better stuff anyway, you know. But, I love the single issues, but I need to do something with them. I can't do the plastic bags.
There's a well-known comic book artist downstairs in the convention who, we were told before the convention, will not sign certain comics that he was not paid for. So we were told in advance, don't bring him such and such because he will not sign those because he never got paid for them. Which is fair enough. They don't have pension plans, do they?
No, I it's funny because I had a copy of Harley Quinn as an issue, and it's a tribute to The Killing Joke, and it says by Brian Bolland and Ryan Sook, and it's you know, the Joker holds the camera, but this is Harley Quinn holding the camera. And I queued up for Brian Bolland this morning, and I had to say, your name's on this, did you draw this? And he said, no. Do you want me to sign it anyway? So it's one of a kind.
Cool. All right. Well, Rob, thank you again for picking a very unusual one. I sort of dread to think what we might be...
Did you like it, Eamon? Are you allowed to say?
I'm allowed to say, yeah. I struggled with it, Rob.
A friend of mine who loves horror.
Yeah.
I gave it to him, and Stephen, his name is, and he handed it back to me a month later and said, it's not for me. And in a strange way, it's not for everyone.
No, it's not.
20% of you are going to really like it.
Yeah.
You're going to love it a fuck ton.
We might have advertised it to the people who will appreciate it.
I hope
no,
so.
I'm going to probably say no.
Do you like the artist? Do you like
yes,
the art?
Yes, the art is fantastic.
Good.
Yes, the art is fantastic. But the whole story is confusing to me, and the body count is phenomenal. And just like, surely somebody will have noticed. But surely somebody's going to notice by now, you know.
Judge Dredd should have arrested her by now.
Surely, yeah, you know. Yeah. Jessica Fletcher goes to all those towns on her book tour. Surely somebody's going to notice that she's the serial killer.
But I've read so many adult so-called comics. This has happened in Black Widow. It's certainly happened in Hellblazer. There's a sex club. Murder happens. Maybe it's even John Constantine dies. And the police are called in. And I like a procedural. But this isn't it, is it? We know the murderer.
Any other accomplishments or sketches or commissions or pieces of work from downstairs?
Hopefully Dylan Teague is drawing me something kind of lovesick related today.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Don't know if he looked quite busy. I like Dylan Teague. He colours a lot of Dredd.
Yes.
And Spectre.
A lot of covers for Cliff Robinson.
And he's a little gem of an art. He's yeah. Sorry, not. I wish he drew more strips. Maybe he's a perfectionist. But I think his stuff's wonderful.
Right. Yeah, he's downstairs. Very good. Also draws a very attractive lady.
He does. Henry Flint is there drawing crazy sketches, crazy good sketches, the fastest hands down there, I think. And to me, he's like the British Frank Miller.
Yeah.
You know, I think the stuff he does in 10 minutes are just fantastic. The energy, I think he's stunning. So Lawless Comic Con in Bristol is well worth a visit, even if you don't have to have the big bucks. You can just come in and just watch people draw and enjoy it. You know, do come.
It is fantastic. We talk about it every year. It's great fun. You're combining it with a weekend of MCM as well.
Yes.
Your brother's here downstairs,
yeah.
Presumably getting something sketched. Yeah, it's a great time. Great time. Well done as ever to Sue and the team.
Thank you.
For Lawless. Great. Thank you, Rob. That was fantastic.
No worries.
And thank you to everyone for listening to Mega City Book Club. As ever, find all the links at megacitybookclub.com. Follow us on Facebook, Threads, Instagram, Blue Sky, Mastodon, Substack, the 2080 forums. You might find us in the Lovesick chat room. Probably not. Email us. Email me, mcbcpodcast@gmail.com. If you've got an unusual choice and you want to come on the book club, let me know. So until next time, from here in Bristol, it's goodbye from me and...
Goodbye from me. Thank you.